ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The Biden administration focused on the migrant crisis.
The administration will now send 800 Defense Department personnel to the border, in addition to the 2,500 National Guard members already deployed to help Customs and Border Protection. The administration is also expanding deportation protocols to remove more families under an already existing program. And in perhaps the biggest move, it's granting temporary legal status to 400,000 Venezuelans already in the U.S., making it easier for them to get authorization to work.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley reporting in New York. The weekly jobless claims report is out today.
The Labor Department says the number of people who filed for unemployment benefits rose by 3,000 last week. It was the first increase in more than a month, but the overall number is still historically low. The less volatile four-week moving average was adjusted down by about 5,000. Analysts say they're both signs it's still a job hunter's market.
ABC's Daria Albinger. This is ABC News. An A-list actor says he hopes the Hollywood strikes will be over soon. ABC's Jason Nathanson.
George Clooney with some rare public comments about the Hollywood strikes.
I think we're going to get through this soon.
Speaking at the Digital X event in Cologne, Germany Wednesday, Clooney said striking actors and writers are just looking for a fair share of Hollywood profits.
Listen, no one wants to hear me talk about being unfair, right? Because I've had a very lucky career. But our industry is 160,000 actors, for instance, and they're struggling to make a living just to eat.
His comments come as writers in the studios met Wednesday for the first time in almost a month. Jason Nathanson, ABC News.
Steve Martin announcing his sold-out shows at the Wynn in Las Vegas this weekend are postponed due to rampant COVID in the crew. The shows will now be in mid-December. Britain's King Charles visiting the Notre Dame Cathedral as part of his state visit to France. On his trip, he's also addressing lawmakers and meeting with sports groups. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app, assuming that anything works around here, it's the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It
Shots
is Wednesday,
fired.
September 20th, 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. He's working. I am Todd Albaugh, and Mr. Kreitlow up north in Lake Wissota, host of Up North News from 6 until 8, always working as well. How the heck are you,
always.
Pat?
I'm the heck fine. Did you see the breaking news?
Yes, the Republicans gaveled in and out to the special.
No, what else? That's the correction that some folks had to make. They did not gavel out. They merely adjourned for the day.
Yes, yes.
There's hope. There's hope. Hope, my friends.
As Jesse Jackson said to the 1988 Democratic National Convention, keep hope alive.
Keep hope alive. Yes. So we got that going for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I also want to thank you for letting me be here with you today, because as listeners to my show know, early in the morning, now that Sam has succeeded Aaron as producer, we have been worried sick the past 2 days. We did not have proof of life from Mr. Zommers after he'd gone bear hunting. And here he is.
He's here.
Fair enough. No, I was not eaten by a bear, at least not completely. I'm back here now.
That's great. See, I'll have news to bring to the audience at 6 a.m. tomorrow now.
Yes, so he's alive and well, as a matter of fact. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I have both my legs.
Coming up on the show today at 2:30, we have Tara Ariano, noted TV film critic. She's going to be talking to us about the Drew Barrymore show, Disaster, and what that means for the writer's strike and the Screen Actors Guild strike. The all sides are allegedly meeting today, and Tara will be in and give us an update on that. Also, looking back into history, when several years ago, what was it? Do you remember this, Pat? 20 years ago, maybe, when this kind of happened last time, and David Letterman actually came back. And he grew the beard in solidarity. And I think the show, Tara will tell us, but I think it was like a week or two, he did it without writers, used a lot of Johnny Carson's old stuff. But then he actually settled his own deal, his production company, Worldwide Pants, with the writers, and came back and kind of set the parameter for the settlement of the strike.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that, because again, you're just trying to pick off part of the union, you know, kind of undermining it. And in my rule book, it's pretty easy. Here's how to not be a scab. Don't be a scab. Don't cross the line. Don't make special deals. None of it. You know, you're united or you're not kind of my deal. And there is no way that Drew Barrymore or Bill Maher or anybody can tap dance their way out of acting like a scab, not being called a scab.
Yeah.
Wear the badge. If you're going to put on the badge, wear the badge.
Yeah. And now apparently, I mean, there are other shows trying to wiggle around this and still, because I think Dancing with the Stars. That's the new one. I haven't watched that since they fired Tom Bergeron, but Dancing with the Stars, apparently they have a crew of like 150 people and one writer who wrote like the little intro things for the hosts. And so they're saying they don't want to put the other 149 people out of work, so they're coming back. I don't know though.
Okay, even I would say in that case, yes. We're talking about shows that are dependent on writing,
right?
Not Alfonso Ribeiro going, "Hey, that was cool.
I'm impressed." That's fantastic.
The only reason I know is I was working on tomorrow's notes, and he's in our birthdays, our celebrity birthdays for tomorrow. Yes, that's it. That's all I got. You've now watched more Dancing with the Stars than I have. If you at least saw Tom Bergeron.
Oh, I was kind of a fan. You know, there's Prime. I watched several episodes because Tom Bergeron kind of has my sexual innuendo type of humor, and so he would say little things that nobody, a few other people would get, and kind of give a look, and I always found that fantastic.
I liked Tom Bergeron very much at America's Funniest Videos and Hollywood Squares before that. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. I just didn't watch Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, as soon as Dancing with the Stars came out, my family, like, there are very few shows where all of us would sit down to wait for each new episode, and that one we did for a few seasons.
Yeah,
I don't fault anybody. I don't mock it or anything. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. Hey, to each their own. So tell us, Pat Kreitlow, in terms of in the seriousness, we got a couple of minutes left, unless you want to come back after the break, because we got nobody else this hour. So it's up to you.
What did you do to Trigby?
He's off. He's having a little bit of a family situation. Everything's, I think, okay, but he was off. And so we actually had Jeff Timmer, former Republican executive from Michigan, on yesterday, and he was outstanding talking about, and he said, I'll ask the same question to you. He thinks if the election were held today, that Trump would win the Electoral College.
No.
You disagree?
No, I thoroughly disagree, because again, you'd have to win Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Look at not just how every Wisconsin statewide election has gone, again, except for Ron Johnson needing racist ads, but look at the special elections all around the country. So for all this talk of, Biden's in trouble, the record is very clear in every special election in congressional districts of whatever shade. People have seen the Trump show. Now, his fans are they're louder than ever, but there are fewer of them than ever before. And no, he will not. I would go so far as to tell you right now, I can tell you this far in advance, he's not picking up any of those states. He's not picking up Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. He's just not.
You don't think that Wisconsin's close enough right now for Trump to have a shot?
No, look at that Supreme Court election. I'm not saying that Biden would beat Trump by 11. I'm not saying that at all.
Sure.
But I'm saying that you have an electorate that has seen this show, and they're saying, no, thanks. Our little flirtation with whatever that was is done. And that doesn't mean they love Biden.
You want to come back and talk about child care, or you got
to
go?
I would be happy to.
All right. Well, more Pat Kreitlow after this. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd O'Ball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine today with a high of 80. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows around 54. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Highs around 76. Mainly cloudy skies expected. chance for scattered storms. Saturday, chance for scattered rain showers on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 58.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock. For those watching on the stream, we've changed cameras. What we're doing is we want to get back out of the road, and so we're testing. We had a little failure up in Green Bay of equipment, and so Civic was so kind as to put some new things together for us, so we're testing this out, and now I understand we're visually okay, except for the fact
as visually okay as you and I ever get. Yeah.
But maybe the audio is not so good, but we'll work on that. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News, 6 to 8 every morning across the Civic Media Radio Network, joins us. First of all, Pat, in this segment, I want to say thank you for you and Matt Flynn for filling in last week when Aaron and I were out, so thank you very much for doing that. And
well, thank you again for entrusting me with exactly one half of your show that I was not trustworthy for the full thing, but I'm sure Matt did a great job too. And in return, you're going to host, I think, three of mine coming up at the end of the month here. So
yes, I'll be setting several alarms.
Fine, yeah, so you know, half of yours and three of mine seems like a fair trade.
Sure, that's a fair deal. Anytime. Mm-hmm. I asked Pat to stick around because normally we have Trigvi Olson in on Wednesdays. He's away with family right now, so Pat is filling in here on a Wednesday a little for one more segment. And the reason, well, always great to have you here, Pat. But the main reason is you are a former state senator here representing parts of Northwest Wisconsin, particularly around the Eau Claire and Chippewa Valley area up there. And I want to get your perspective on this. For those, we kind of teased it in the first segment, but for those who have not heard, Governor Tony Evers called a special session for today. And that means the governor is allowed under the Constitution to bring the legislature in and say, okay, folks, aside from your normal schedule, I am basically forcing you to come into session. Now, he has no prerogative how long they can be there or what they do, but he is able to call them in. So he called this special session. As Pat noted, they have simply adjourned. They have not just closed it out. And so they've adjourned right now. Technically, the session is still open. But Governor Evers was calling this because he wanted to spend $365 million to make permanent the pandemic-era child care counts program. And that's in January.
Well,
is that correct?
That's not entirely true. The special session was called to say, hey, this child care crisis is a real big deal. Here's how I would do it. But I'm going to set up this special session so that you can come in, acknowledge that this is a serious issue. And if you've got a solution, let's talk about it. Let's debate. That's how we always hear about norms and how norms have been broken in the Trump era. Mm-hmm. The norm was that the full legislature would come in. They'd say, okay, well, we'll look at this bill. We'll talk about it. We'll come up with our own. We've never had the big middle finger before from elected officials to say, no, we won't even do you the courtesy of talking about this issue. So yes, the governor would like to do it that way, but he at least wanted them to come in and say, hey, this is a real workforce challenge. This is a crisis for families and businesses. Help me work out something with this. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans in the legislature said, screw you and screw all those businesses and families. We don't want to help you.
The legislation also, according to Scott Bauer of the Associated Press, would provide up to 12 weeks of paid family leave for Wisconsin's workers starting in 2025, would have cost $243 million and would give University of Wisconsin System an additional $66 million. Part of that would be to finally build this new engineering building on campus here in Madison. That half that money, or half the total cost is already raised through private funds. Mm-hmm. So as Pat pointed out, yes, this is the parameter that he said, wouldn't it be lovely if, but I want to get to this point, Pat, of you being a former state legislator, of knowing how this works. Mm-hmm. And do you think in your experience that there is any hope, as you pointed out in the first segment, that these two sides could actually sit down? Because these are real issues, Pat. These are, mm-hmm. Folks that are having kids, they need this help.
Yeah. The short answer is no. These are not reasonable times. These are not reasonable people. Bear in mind, we have been hearing about a multi-billion dollar surplus now, literally 4 years, and that this is a Republican majority that would not meet for 9 months at a time, of desperate need, to invest that surplus in some way, shape, or form because they wanted to save it, sit on it, hoping Tim Michaels would win the election and that it would be turned into tax cuts for the wealthy. That's exactly what's happening here. Nobody has said it yet, but I'll go ahead and say it, that they're once again going to try to squander and sit on as much of this as possible, hoping that either Governor Evers doesn't run for a third term and or runs and loses, and that a Republican will be next, and that that'll all be sitting in a piggy bank to give away his tax cuts.
That's just disappointing.
But it gets to the question of, you know, do they want to sit down at a table and reasonably talk about this? And the short answer is no. They honestly have no interest in addressing these problems, and that's what you get with a gerrymandered legislature. When you rig the maps, you get the worst potential quality of politicians in office.
And see, we talked about this via email or chat just a little bit last week as you were preparing to guest host last Friday. Again, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But what you've just laid out, I agree with your take, by the way, unfortunately. Unfortunately, because that's the truth, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, is that what you just pointed out with Republicans writing off what Governor Evers is proposing, I feel that Democrats, or maybe a more fair way to put it, is the governor's staff did kind of the same thing last week when Republicans came out with this redistricting bill that looked a lot like the 2013 version that my former boss, Republican and Democratic state senator, former senator Tim Cullen, put together. And yes, it left out the congressional maps, and yes, there needed to be some other fixes in there, but it seemed like it would have been a better idea for Governor Evers to say, you know what, this isn't where I want to go, but at least it's a starting point. Let's talk. So what we just laid out, it seems like both sides, if the other one is the one that proposes it, they just want to write it off.
Perhaps. But again, the blatant, you know, craven nature of the proposal was so obvious from the get-go that they would not have embraced this if they did not think that a newly constituted state Supreme Court was actually going to bring justice to these maps. And rather than embrace a fair map, drawn by the courts, they would rather pass through something that they said was reform. But where I'll disagree with you on this, Todd, is that it was, in my view, a wolf in sheep's clothing, because it did have the mechanism in place for the legislature to simply say, after two attempts by the staff, nope, we don't like it, so we're going to do our own. If they were using the actual Iowa model, if I understand correctly, then that third time, it would go to the state Supreme Court, which right now is controlled by progressives. So there's a reason, in my mind, Republicans didn't put that exact language in their bill. And because it was to that level of disingenuousness and craven politics, that I think Evers was right to dismiss it.
You and I agree on the fact that I do not think that Voss's putting this forward now was genuine necessarily. I agree with the parameters, what you said. But if I understand it correctly, and I worked on this bill 10 years ago, literally, when I worked for Dale. I don't remember all of it, so don't hold me. I'm not Matt Flynn. I'm no lawyer. But my understanding is that the Wisconsin legislature, under the Wisconsin Constitution, the legislature must be the final person that passes the maps. You can't just leave the maps up 100% to the court without a constitutional amendment.
That's not true. Wisconsin maps were drawn by courts after the 1960 census, after the 1970 census, after the 1980 census, after the 1990 census. Courts had to come in and do this because you had split control of government. It's just, the difference is, in all those past decades, federal courts did it because in the 1960s, the state Supreme Court said, we're not experts on this. We're going to punt to the federal courts. But once this current group of conservatives, when they had the majority, you'll recall that about, what was it, 3 years ago, they put out, you know, notice basically that said, hey, the next time there's a redistricting case, we're going to take it up. And they wanted to take it up because they are, you know, they are not like the justices of the 1960s. They are politicians in justices' robes, and they did what they did to reaffirm not just the 2011 rigged maps, but to make them riggedier in this particular decade. So again, the partisan nature is there, And the right thing to do would have been to, again, let federal courts handle this when a state, when the legislative branch and the executive branch can't agree amongst themselves.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where they go. So this is very interesting because I don't know where I read it. I can't remember where I read it. I read a couple of different articles that I thought were legit. It was my understanding that you're right. They ultimately, the maps before did go to the federal courts, but I thought that the legislature had to have some final vote over it. So I guess what you're...
And that could be the case. If they did have some kind of a final vote, but I don't know that they did or not. I'm sure there were Democratic majorities for pretty much all of those. And so yeah. I'm sure it was an easy rubber stamp. But I get your point, and I'm certainly going to want to learn more about that.
Yeah, I will too, and we'll try to get folks the straight answer. I'm going to defer to Pat, though, because you were in there. You were taking the votes, and I think mm-hmm. you're probably right. I can't remember how all the final pieces went.
I will, though, again, add the story that I've said before, and I'm going to say again, that prior to running for 2010 for re-election, when I lost, that another freshman and I went to our leadership and said, we want to run as reform candidates, because we were, and we want to make a big deal about the Iowa model, and we want you to come out and embrace it as well. We think, you know, it's going to be a tough year, the Tea Party and everything else, and we want you to come out embracing reform of the Iowa model. And his words could not be said on the radio, but he basically said, screw that, yeah. We're going to win, and we're going to draw the maps. Well, that didn't really work out, did it? So
not so much.
The guy who wanted to reform the system, you know, is now on the outside looking in at a system that's still so much in need of reform.
It certainly is. And on the Republican side, as I said, when my boss was in office, and Scott Fitzgerald, who is now a congressman from Wisconsin, was the Senate Majority Leader, Republican. They wouldn't even give this bipartisan bill in 2013 a hearing. Wouldn't even allow it to go to a public hearing. And I think that's another part that really bothered me, whether this offer by Voss was genuine or not, they wouldn't even allow the bill to have a public hearing.
Right. But the problem is, you and I have a lot in common with that excerpt from the Mitt Romney biography that's going to be coming out, in that we still believe in what I refer to as the student council mindset, that if we could all just get in a room and we could all talk with one another, we could do great things.
Yeah.
But the cynics have won. The cynics with all of their money, and have said, no, we have no interest in actually passing a clean bill of anything. We're going to arrange these things ahead of time. It's why people get cynical about politics, and it's why people don't vote. And it's why people like you and I have to work harder than ever on this week, you know, where we celebrate National Voter Registration Day, to convince people that it is still in their best interest, despite the cynicism, despite the setbacks. You still have to pay attention to these things and vote for at least which one you think is going to do a better job, not just who's on your team.
Right, exactly. Well said, Pat Kretlow. What's coming up tomorrow on Up North News at 6 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network?
Well, that would be our friend Joe Zepecki is going to join us to talk about some of the headlines of the week around the state capitol. And then we'll have Hometown Health as well with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. So she'll have a guest, a celebrity chef, I guess.
Really?
is going to be talking about food that's good for the soul.
Oh, my gosh. I'm tuning in that for that one.
I know. So bring that appetite from 6 to 8 tomorrow. Or if that's just too early, folks, we're on as a podcast, too, and on civicmedia.us. So just listen later on demand.
Pat Kretlow, thank you so much. Appreciate it, my friend. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The Biden administration focused on the migrant crisis.
The administration will now send 800 Defense Department personnel to the border, in addition to the 2,500 National Guard members already deployed to help Customs and Border Protection. The administration is also expanding deportation protocols bills to remove more families under an already existing program. And in perhaps the biggest move, it's granting temporary legal status to 400,000 Venezuelans already in the U.S., making it easier for them to get authorization to work.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley reporting in New York. The weekly jobless claims report is out today.
The Labor Department says the number of people who filed for unemployment benefits rose by 3,000 last week. It was the first increase in more than a month, but the overall number is still historically low. The less volatile four-week moving average was adjusted down by about 5,000. Analysts say they're both signs it's still a job hunter's market.
ABC's Daria Albinger. This is ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Maggie Dawn Show.
My immediate thought when I read about this and then watched it today was, please don't die, Senator McConnell. I couldn't disagree more strongly with Senator McConnell's policy positions, but he has been one of the only elected officials that's in a leadership position for the Republican Party that hasn't completely supplicated himself to Donald Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about five minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Appreciate Pat Kreitlow sticking around for a second segment. Trigvi Olsen will be back with us next week. Looking forward to that. Talking a little bit about this issue this half hour on this special session of the legislature, gaveling in and gaveling out. And they, what Tony Evers, Governor Tony Evers wanted to do, still wants to do, is focus on child care and things like 12 weeks of leave, of family medical leave. Remember, we have a $4 billion surplus. And the question I'd like to talk about as we go along this half hour is how much it costs to pay for childcare versus sending your kids to college. Great piece today in wispolitics.com. By the way, if you haven't signed up for Wispolitics, you should go do so. some of the best reporting, best writing in Wisconsin. And this was from Forward Analytics, that child care for two children is more expensive than the average rent or mortgage, as well as the cost of sending two kids to UW-Madison, according to data from the Division of Wisconsin Counties Association. And let me tell you, the Wisconsin Counties Association, that's not some left-leaning group. Wisconsin Counties Association tends to be a center-right type of organization, because it's your county board folks, right? A lot of them, for the majority, from rural areas, just the way Wisconsin is made up. So they're saying that child care for two children is more expensive than the average rent or mortgage, as well as the cost of sending two kids to UW-Madison. According to this study from Forward Analytics, the cost of child care for two young children is more than $25,000 per year, exceeding the cost of $22,000, the tuition for two students in-state at UW-Madison. So much it costs to have child care now. Is that okay in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Our ongoing contributor, our friend, Mr. Jeff Perry. Welcome, Mr. Perry. How are you?
I'm good. Well, my weekend plans are ruined, Todd.
What were those?
I was going to go see a taping of the Drew Barrymore show with Russell Brand, and now what am I going to do? No idea.
Yeah, nothing to do. It's fascinating, isn't it? Do you, now you're much more of a Letterman aficionado than even I am. How long did he come back without writers?
It was maybe 3 weeks. It couldn't have been much longer.
No, I thought it was like two, but we'll see.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But yeah, so
it was too long ago.
So looking forward to talking to Tara Ariano at the bottom of next hour and talking about the update on the writers and Screen Actor Guild strike.
So I have a question for you about, so first of all, yeah, the cost of childcare is crazy. And now I haven't had kids in daycare since, for a long time now,
sure.
But back then, we're talking, a decade ago or whatever it was, back then it was like having another mortgage payment.
Yeah.
And I know it hasn't gotten any cheaper. So it's insanity. But I have a question, and it sort of goes along with this, with the special session and all this. So this this Devin LeMahieu,
yes.
LeMahieu guy.
Senate Majority Leader.
So I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. I believe it is Devin.
I believe so, yes.
This guy, so is he – I don't have a handle on this guy. So is he like somebody who doesn't speak much in public, but like behind the scenes, he's like running the show. He's like a well-oiled machine. Or is he like a lackey who's in there, who they know that he's going to take his marching orders. He's going to keep his mouth shut and do what he's told.
That's a great question. And the short answer is I'm not sure, because Devin LeMahieu was okay. Still in the assembly when I left the state Senate. And so I never saw him, in action, so to speak, as a politician or on the floor. And he was kind of an interesting choice by Senate Republicans to be the leader. But to your point, Jeff, and he kind of follows the same line as Scott Fitzgerald. Now, you have people like Mike Ellis, a Republican, who is very boisterous and out there. People like Chuck Quala for the Democrats, boisterous and out there. You know, the Senate, my former boss, Dale Schultz, was somewhere probably in the middle. I mean, he certainly had a lot of press conferences, was always speaking to the press. This guy, Devin LeMahieu, you're right. You don't see him. You don't hear him. He's not really out there on much. And so your point is well taken. Who is advising this guy? Who does he talk to? I think that's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to know that, because I just don't have a handle on him. And usually these guys are like you just said, anytime there's a microphone or a camera,
right.
Boop, they're there. Right. Hey, look at me. And for better or for worse, but this guy, you never see him. And so I wondered, which role it was. Was he just like, really running things behind the scenes and with an iron fist, or is he just kind of like, oh yeah, I'll do what I'm told? So I really don't know. I was kind of hoping you would know, but
I don't know. All I do know is that I did see him rushing, washing Robin Voss's car out in the Senate outside of the parking lot. So that may tell you everything you need to know. I'm not sure. Jeff, always appreciate you, my friend.
Did you hear about Lauren Boebert's new book? Just real quick.
Lauren Boebert's new book. No, Jeff, tell us. What is it?
Yeah. It's called How Much Culture Do You Got?
I think I'm going to start calling her Lauren Handy Boebert. That's my new nickname for it. Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What do you think of this this special session?
You know, could also, just a quick note, we could do Lauren Boebert, since apparently she likes having him grabbed in public.
That's very true as well. What do you think of this special session by Republicans gaveling in and not quite out? They adjourned, so it's still technically in session, but not taking any action so far. And this study by the Wisconsin Counties Association, again, not a left-leaning group, and they had this study done by Forward Analytics saying it now costs in Wisconsin more to have a child care for two children is now more expensive than rent or mortgage or sending two kids to UW-Madison. Over $25,000 a year if you have two kids in child care. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Mark from the SAC. Mark, appreciate you holding. What say you?
Yeah, whenever I hear about Devin LeMahieu, I just can't help but I looked him up. And the man is just devoid of the truth. And you think somebody who went to a Christian high school and a Christian college would actually have it drilled into his head, you always have to speak the truth. You can't go out there and lie about things that are going on. I don't know why there's that ability of them to just kind of stretch the truth and all that, because that's kind of one of the big ones, is you're not supposed to tell any lies or or bear false witness. And the current crop of Republicans have no problem doing that. And, again, turning back to the Constitution as far as for the districts, that, you know, I was looking at the law this morning, just, you know, that they're not even supposed to, you know, according to a Supreme Court decision, they're not even supposed to be splitting up, you know, counties. They're not supposed to be splitting up wards, not supposed to be splitting up towns or cities or anything like that. That the court, you know, I use the word jaundice. They didn't use that, but jaundiced eye toward that kind of behavior. And apparently, they just, you know, did just ignored those rules completely when they drew up these maps. And that, regardless of who draws up the maps are still supposed to meet constitutional muster, which I've said, you know, people get tired of me saying it. It consists of contiguous territory.
Mm-hmm.
Compactest form as possible, you know, it bordered by county, precinct, town, and ward lines. I mean, and the counties, you know, as has been pointed out, as you pointed out, I mean, they picked up houses outside of a district to drag it in, and how they can look at themselves in the mirror and not admit the fact that yes, these maps are indeed rigged, and that anybody who's coming out and saying is just speaking the truth, and why you should be impeached for speaking the truth, why you should have to recuse yourself for speaking a basic truth, because regardless of what Janet Protasiewicz had said, that if she had said nothing at all, we probably knew how she was going to vote on this issue coming into the Supreme Court. Sure. So the Republicans are very be howling about that anyway. That the end, you know, and thanks to Pat Kreitlow this morning, he mentioned Iron River. Mm-hmm. Went through Iron River many a time going from Douglas County there in to go visit the grandparents up there in Herbster and Port Wing, that up on the shores of Lake Superior. So, I mean, it just is, that's where my roots are, is far northern Wisconsin. If that's true, that's really true north, when you get all the way up there to in spitting distance of Lake Superior. It just is, these guys need to be held to account, that people should just hold these guys to account. I mean, and they simply have not been. I mean, that every time Robin Voss opens his mouth and say, but what about this Robin Voss? Because the Constitution is clear and how the maps are supposed to be bounded, and they certainly do not do that. And that I heard of Madison, one of our legislatures near Madison, his district is like a shotgun shot with where the district is split up as.
Well, certainly having an effect the maps and how things get done, or like in today's session or a special session so far has not gotten done. And I think you're right. We have to deal with that. And whether it happens to the courts or otherwise, I hope that is certainly taken care of.
Yep, thanks, brother.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it. Mark in the sack, if you'd like to join us, appreciate your phone calls. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Again, I would love to hear from someone, a parent, a grandparent. Are you a child care provider? Because I found this fascinating when I saw this on WisPolitics today. That according to the Wisconsin Counties Association, not a left-leaning group, they had a new study done by Forward Analytics saying that the cost of child care for two young children, more than $25,000 per year in Wisconsin, exceeding the cost of $22,000 to pay for tuition for two students at UW-Madison. The study notes that while parents have 18 years to save up college expenses, child care costs can take a significant chunk out of their household income for the first 4 to 6 years of a child's life. Child care costs account for up to 36% of income for parents under the age of 25 with a median income of $36,000 a year, and 18% of overall income for parents between the ages of 25 and 44 with a median income of $76,932. For some, child care costs for two children can take up to as much as 70% of household income. 70%. Think about that for a second. And the irony to me is that Republicans have the audacity to go out there saying that they want to, that this is not made up. There are people in the MAGA movement in the far right Republican Party who are saying that they are against abortion because they want to have a greater population, that we need to populate more. We need to have more kids. But once the child is here, you understand, they don't actually want to help take care of them or help their parents take care of them. There is a movement within the Republican Party that is growing greater, basically that women should just stay home and cook and clean and take care of the kid. That is a real thing. And therefore, they don't want to put money into childcare because they feel that's just, you should be able to stay home and do that.
And so they're just forcing them to by making it so that childcare is more expensive than your income if that parent works another job.
Yeah.
So that it is literally cheaper for them to stay home and take care of the kids and clean and cook and all that.
Yeah. And look, if that is the choice that a couple decides, that whichever partner wants to stay home and take care of the kids and they can afford to do that, I'm all for it. I had the luxury as a young child that my mom was there, and that was great. But not every family can afford to do that. Not every family wants to do that. And child care is a necessity, and we should be funding it. Back after this, the Todd Lamont Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny today with highs around 80. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 54. Tonight, mainly clear. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 76. Low 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Cooler Sunday with highs in the upper 60s and showers. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 58.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Tom Humboldt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us here. Talking about this special session, the state legislature kind of gaveling in and then adjourning hasn't officially gaveled out. So the special session that Governor Tony Evers called still technically going on. But what's been disturbing, as we've been talking about so far today, is the refusal, and again, I would feel differently, maybe. Hang on. Excuse me. I was trying to get to the sneeze button so I didn't cough on everybody's ear. And I went to hit the button, and then it fell over. And then it scared me, and I stopped sneezing. One of those type of things. It's been that kind of a day, quite frankly, and I apologize. We'll do better tomorrow, or at least next hour. But here's the deal. I'd feel differently, maybe a little bit, if let's say the state had a budget shortfall. Let's say we were in the red and we had to cut somewhere, or we just couldn't, you know, give as much money out. But we're sitting on a $4 billion state surplus. $4 billion. And of that $4 billion, Tony Evers wants to take $365 million and put it towards childcare. It would provide 12 weeks, up to 12 weeks, of paid leave family for Wisconsin workers starting in 2025 at a cost of $243 million. And would give an additional $66 million to UW to build this, well, part of it, to build this new engineering building on the Madison campus, which is needed. To me, this is not, it shouldn't be partisan stuff. We're not talking about tax cuts for the rich here. We're talking about taking care of kids, taking care of women who have just gone through a childbirth, or talking about a couple who just adopted and having time at home for the first 12 weeks of that child to be with that child. Talking about putting money into education. These are things that did not used to be hyper-partisan, that you could sit down at the other side of the aisle and talk through and say, look, taking care of kids, taking care of parents of newborns, and educating our kids is something we can at least find some form of compromise on. But we seem to have just gone off the tracks. What do you think? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go up to Gene in Eau Claire, listening on the tap, WCFW. Gene, what say you?
Good afternoon. Outstanding show. Really enjoy it and love watching you on YouTube.
Well, thank you.
Great job. You know, I have been so ornery lately because I watch these fools and really destructive, chaotic idiots running, you know, both our state and federal government. And, you know, the thing that's happening here is they're absent. They're absent from their jobs. They're not doing what they were elected to do, and they should all be fired. Anybody that had a regular job would have been fired by now. And they're abusing their position. They're hurting our state. They're hurting our federal government. And there's no excuse for it. And these are not, and I don't care what party a person's in. Mm-hmm. You do not just, you know, hammer in and sit there and then hammer out and get money from the taxpayers for salaries. It's really quite sick. And totally ignore the issues in our state that people are really concerned about. And they did vote for Governor Evers to handle this, but yet they continue to obstruct and try to maintain power when they're useless. I mean, yeah. If they were useful, you know, we could kind of try to figure them out. But you know what? They're useless, and you can't figure them out because they're not logical. And they're just playing their own games. So anyway, thank you very much, and you have a good day.
You too, Jean. Thanks so much. Appreciate you, my friend. Jean and Eau Claire, appreciate her. Welcome your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Go to the text line. Remember, you can text us by going to the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android phone. If you haven't got it, just go to your app store, type in Civic Media, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, download it. It takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King, CBS, calls a deal. From WAUK in Waukesha, actually, it's Jay from East Troy. And Jay says, quote, granddaughter in daycare, a half day preschool, preschool for a half day. It costs $1,200 monthly, but an excellent learning process there. So $1,200 a month for daycare, for half day daycare, I guess, right, Mr. Zomers? That's the way I would interpret that. So, right. Yeah. It ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. And I don't know how single families, how single parents are able to do it, quite frankly.
Basically, they're broke and also relying on family.
Right.
And yeah. If you don't have family to rely on,
it's super tough.
It's just a struggle every day.
From one of our new stations, WGBW, up in Green Bay, Jim from Appleton says, now, Todd, you know very well that the surplus has to go to the donors so it can trickle back to the politicians as campaign donations at a rate of approximately 10%, unquote. Interesting. Yeah, interesting. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, the money, that surplus money isn't going to go back directly to donors, so there's not checks being written that I know of.
Well, just with the targeted tax cuts, he's just saying that if it went through the way Republicans wanted, it would be going to the people who just happen to be the donors.
Right. That's true. Some of the tax cuts for the super rich, that's certainly a possibility. But again, I go back to this line of, if you're pro-life, well, then be pro-life. I'm pro-choice, but if you're pro-life, I respect that. But then continue to be pro-life.
You have to be pro-life, not pro-birth, and yes, only birth.
I think that's a good way to put it, Mr. Somers. And we want our kids to be taken care of. I believe at least most people in this state want our kids to be taken care of. So hopefully we will still see, again, the special session here in Madison today was gaveled in and adjourned. So technically they are still in the special session. We will see what happens there. When we come back in hour two, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Tara Arellano talking about kind of the debacle at the Drew Barrymore show and what this means for the Writers Guild and Screen Actors Guild strike. Talking about workers' rights again at the bottom of the hour at 2:30. When we come back, we'll lighten things up a little bit. What the heck? I think we need to lighten things up. Out in Congress, they have a new dress code. Susan Collins is threatening to wear a bikini on the U.S. Senate floor. I'm not making this up. We'll explain, take your calls after this. This is the Todd Hallball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Tom.